How can I know God's will? Why do I do what I don't want to do? How long should I keep praying? How can I stop worrying? Thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, as we continue with our series called Hard Questions, Pastor Rick Warren will share from God's Word in order to help us navigate through the muddy waters of life's seemingly unanswerable questions. If you'd love to help the kids you know learn God's Word, then stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about God's Big Plans for Me, an easy-to-understand storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called How Long Should I Keep Praying?
How long do I keep on praying when I don't see an answer? I hear this all the time. I've heard it from people who've lost a spouse, a husband or wife, have walked out on them. And they say, you know, Pastor, I've been praying for 3 or 4 years to come back. How long am I going to keep praying that they'll come back? I've heard it in the hospital room. They'll say, my loved one is dying. They're terminally ill. How long do I keep praying for a miracle? I've heard it from single adults who said, I've been praying for 10, 12 or more years for a mate. I want to be married. How long do I keep praying? I've heard it from people who say, you know, I want something changed in my life and I don't like the way I am. And there's something about me I want to change. And I've been praying that God would change it. How long do I keep praying? That is a legitimate question, friends. And we're going to look at it today. Now, Jesus knew that we can easily get discouraged about prayer. And so he told a story, then Luke chapter 18. It's quite a humorous story. Jesus loved to use rascals as object lessons. And here is this tug of war between this powerful judge and this powerless widow. And the judge is hard-boiled, he's godless, he's unsympathetic, he's heartless, he's calloused. He couldn't care less about this widow or anybody else. And yet he has all the power. And the widow is powerless. She has no clout. She has no leverage. She has no power. In those days, widows were at the bottom of the social ladder. But she does have one thing, persistence. And she goes and she begins to badger this judge, saying, I want justice. I want justice. And I demand it right now. And she really just makes a nuisance of herself until finally the judge, exhausted, just gives in. And he goes, okay, you know, all right already. I'll make sure you get your request answered. Now, I think this is kind of comical. He's intimidated by a helpless widow. All she has is she just keeps on being persistent. Now, what's the point of the story? There are two kinds of stories Jesus told. One, parables of comparison. God is like this. And parables of contrast. God is not like this. This is a parable of contrast. And he's saying, God is not like this judge. He's saying, you know, if a heartless, ungodly judge will eventually give in to a request because it's asked enough times, how much more will your heavenly Father who loves you answer your prayers? Now, you say, well, Rick, if that's true, if God really wants to answer my prayers, if God loves me, how come my prayers aren't being answered? I've prayed for changes in my life. They haven't taken place. I've prayed for miracles. I've prayed for things, and it hasn't happened, at least not yet. It's a legitimate question. And so Jesus told a story, and there on your outline, Luke 18, verse 1, he told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Now, I want you to circle those two phrases, always pray or not give up, because in life, you're always doing one or the other. Listen, in life, you're always doing one or the other. You're either praying or giving up. You're always either praying or giving up. If you're discouraged this morning, you don't like yourself, you don't like your situation, you don't like things the way they are, it's because you're not praying. Because you're always either praying or giving up. Now the Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. Be persistent in your prayers. Why should I do that? Why should I be persistent in my prayers? If God wants to answer and he doesn't do it, why should I keep praying? Well, we're going to look at it this morning, and I want to take it from three different angles. First, why should I keep on praying until I get an answer? And then we're going to look at how long should I keep on praying? And then we're going to look at what do I do while I'm waiting for the answer, while I am praying. First, why do I keep on praying even when I don't get an answer? Well, there are four biblical reasons. Would you write these down? Number one, persistent praying, that means praying over and over and over, focuses my attention. It focuses my attention. When you pray a prayer request over and over, it's not to remind God. He doesn't need to be reminded. It's to remind yourself who's the source of your answers, who's the source of all your needs. Persistent prayer is not blackmail where you finally beat up God and he goes, okay, I give up. I'll answer your prayers. That's not what he's saying. Persistent prayer keeps you focused. If every prayer you ever prayed was instantly answered, two things would be true. Number one, in your life, prayer would become a weapon of destruction. It would. You'd go, God, I don't like the way that guy drives. Off that person. Boom, bam, he's gone. And it would be a terrible weapon of destruction in your life. The second thing is, if every prayer you prayed was instantly answered, you'd never think about God. Because God would become a vending machine to you. Put in the prayer, get out the candy. You don't think about vending machines. You don't go, look how well designed this vending machine is. Look at what great things it can give me. No, no, all you care about is the results. And if you prayed and every time you prayed, you instantly got results, all you think about was the blessing. God says, I want you to think about the blesser. I want you to focus on me. So I'm going to hold back the answer for a minute to force you to focus on me because I am the source of everything you need. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 6, verse 6, out of the Message paraphrase. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. He says, now, when you're praying, get alone by yourself. Because have you noticed that when you pray in front of other people, you pray differently? You role play. You even oftentimes take on a different voice. Our most gracious heavenly Father. You know, and the Father in heaven's going, who? You know, I mean, if ever my, you know, I got three kids. If ever my kids walk in the door and say, Almighty, omnipotent creator of our family, thou please, we beseech thee that you would give us an allowance. I will know they're role-playing. What's more likely is because of our relationship, they come and say, Dad, I need cash. I can understand that. And so he says, get off by yourself, be honest to God. Then he says, be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Get that? The focus shifts. God wants us to recognize him as the source of everything that we need. Whatever you need, he is the source. You should be asking him for it, not looking to other people to meet your needs. See, we like to look to everybody else. We look to our family to make us feel good. We look to our friends to make us feel good. We want to look to the government, to society to make us feel good. God says, why aren't you looking to me? Look at the next verse. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God. See, when you're caught up in your problems, you're not thinking about God. And you end up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he's doing. Psalm 105 tells us, look to the Lord and ask him for help. That's what persistent praying is. It focuses us on God. Number two, I need to keep on praying even when I don't see an answer because persistent praying clarifies my request. It clarifies my request. In other words, a delayed answer gives me time to clarify exactly what I want. A delayed answer gives me time to refine my prayers. Do I really want it? Now, as a pastor, I've heard many, many, many prayers. And the problem with your prayers is they're too vague. When you pray, you don't pray specifically enough. You say things like, God be with us. Well, he's already with you, whether you pray that or not. So you don't have to pray that one, God be with us. You don't ever have to pray, God be with us. He's always with you, okay? Or you pray, God bless us. What's a blessing? Can anybody in this room define what blessing means? Because the Bible says sometimes a blessing is a problem. Is that what you're praying for? Oh, God, give me a bunch of problems. You better be careful about praying for blessings. Because blessings are often things you don't know. They're blessings in disguise. And so you need to be more specific. The more specific you are in your prayers, the more dynamic they are, the more God can answer them. On top of that, when you pray persistently, you ask for something more than once to God, what it does is it shows what you really want. It shows your heart's desire. It shows that you really mean business. If I don't care about praying about something more than one time, it's just a whim. It means it's not really that important to me. If I pray about something more than once, it means I really care about this. You see, when you pray persistently to your Heavenly Father and you say something over, it separates deep longings from mere whims. It says, God, I really care about this. It's not that God doesn't want to answer your prayers. He does. It's just that He wants you to be certain that that's what you really want. Does that make sense? He just wants you to be sure that's what you really want. Now, on top of that, sometimes when you pray, when you start to pray about something, you don't really know what you want in the first place. Your career's in shambles and you're going, God, I'm praying about my career. But you don't really know what you want. You don't know what job you want. You don't know where you want it. It's just kind of vague. Or you pray about your relationship. I'd like to have a girlfriend. Well, what kind of girlfriend? Or I'd like to get married. Well, where do you want to get married? When do you want to get married? You know, you need to be more specific. And a lot of times you don't know what to pray for. But that's okay. Even when you don't know what to pray for, you still pray. You come to God and say, God, I don't know what to pray for in this situation. So I'm just coming and saying, help. Help. And that's good enough. In fact, did you know that the Bible says that when you don't know what to exactly pray for, that the Holy Spirit prays for you? It says that. Look at the next verse. Romans 8:26, New Living Translation. The Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. So the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that can't be expressed in words. Have you ever been so depressed you couldn't even put your depression into words? Yeah, most of us have. Have you ever been so grieved and sorrowful that your heart was breaking so much you couldn't even speak it, you couldn't even say it, you couldn't even think it? Yeah. Have you ever been so angry or so worried or so discouraged that mere verbal words just don't seem enough? In those situations, God knows how you feel. And the Holy Spirit prays for you. And He prays those longings, those groanings inside that you can't even verbalize. And He helps you clarify your request. Sometimes God waits to answer your prayer because He's helping you think through, what's the real problem here? And sometimes He's thinking through, what do I really want here? And sometimes He's helping you think through, what's the real goal here? What's the objective? And that's why He doesn't answer immediately. There's a third reason. Persistent praying not only focuses my attention and clarifies my request, but persistent praying tests my faith. Persistent praying tests my faith. Now, in Proverbs 17:3, it says this. Let's read this verse aloud together. Fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. God likes to test your heart because He strengthens it. He strengthens your faith by testing it. Now, how does God test your faith? Well, let me give you His favorite way. Are you ready for this? God's favorite way of testing you is delay. Are any of you familiar with this test? Delay. Have you ever been in a hurry when God wasn't? That's a frustrating place to be. But God's timetable is perfect. He's never early. He's never late. You pray, God, I've got to have this answer now. God, I've got to have this healing now. I've got to have this miracle now. I've got to have this money, this solution, these friends, whatever, now. And God's saying, well, you don't really know it all. And God does test our faith through delays. Why does He do that? Why does God like to test our faith? Look at the next verse on the back of your outline. James 1. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character. Circle that. Strong in character and ready for anything. You'll be mature. The only way you can grow to maturity, emotional maturity and spiritual maturity, is to have your faith tested. And one of the ways He's going to test it is by delaying some answers to your prayers. He's going to test it. Why? Because one of the tests of maturity is, how long can you wait? That's a mark of maturity, the ability to wait. How long can a 2-year-old wait? Not at all. I want it now. How long can a teenager wait? About the same length as a 2-year-old. Okay. But there comes a point in your life where all of a sudden you grow up and you learn a principle called delayed gratification. Delayed gratification means that not everything happens on my timetable. That sometimes I have to wait for good things. That it doesn't always happen just immediately, instantly. That life is not some lottery where every day I win $1 million and things just always go my way. What you have to learn is you have to put in the effort. You have to put in the time. You have to put in the skills and development and habits. And then the payoff comes. And there is always a waiting period between what you want and the way life is right now. That's called maturity. And so God sometimes delays the answer to prayers because he's waiting for you to grow up. Faith is like a muscle. It's developed as it's stretched. And every time you're waiting for an answer to prayer, you are in a faith-building exercise. I remember the story reading about Rees Howes, a famous missionary from England to Africa back in the 1930s and 40s. Rees Howes was living in England, and he really felt like God was saying, I want you to go to Africa and share the good news of Christ with the people there. He said, oh, I only had enough money, though, to make it to London on a train. So he's sitting around in his home for several weeks, maybe it was even months, and finally somebody comes and says, I thought you were going to be an African missionary. And he said, well, yeah, I am. He said, well, why are you still here? He said, I don't have the money. I'm waiting for God to give it. He said, well, how much money do you have? He said, I got enough to get to London. He said, well, then you better go that far. It's like that great theologian Bill Murray says, take baby steps, you know, baby steps. And so you know what he did? This is a true story. He went and bought a ticket to London. He packs his bags, gets on the train, goes to London, gets off the train station in London, and he's standing there. He has no money for food, no money for housing that night, no money, doesn't know anybody. He's standing, you know, kind of waiting for the money to fall on him. What do I do now? God, I went as far as you told me to go. And he said a little thought just came into his mind. It was the Holy Spirit talking to him. If you had the money, what would you be doing right now? He said, well, I'd be going, buying a ticket on a ship to Africa. Well, why don't you go do that in faith? So he picks up his luggage, he walks down to the docks, and gets in line to buy a ticket. You're way ahead of me. Now, you know, there are about 22 people in line. And as each person gets a little closer, and he gets a little closer, he's kind of, well, you know, what's going to happen, you know? I mean, this is a test. And he gets all the way up to the fourth person in line. And all of a sudden, the guy who's been standing in front of him this entire time turns around and says, I'm sorry, I've got to go. I was supposed to turn these tickets in. I don't have time. You could just have them. And he gives him the tickets to the trip to Africa. Take the step of faith as far as God leads you, and when you get there, he'll tell you step two. You got to realize that God is testing your faith. In Luke 18, this parable of the persistent widow, at the end of the story, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Faith on earth? What's he talking about? I thought he was talking about prayer, not faith. Why? Faith and persistence are the exact same thing. Faith is persistence. Persistence is faith. And there is no prayer without faith. God says, let the size of your God determine the size of your prayer, and then keep on praying, because praying persistently reveals faith. You're growing, even when you're not seeing the answer. You're growing, and God is taking note of it.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime, or you can download the Daily Hope podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Rick will be back in a moment with a final word, so please stay with us. The Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have special kids that the Lord has placed in your life? Maybe you have your own kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or kids in your neighborhood that are part of your life. You can help them get closer to God by encouraging them to read God's Word. We're so excited to tell you about a brand new resource for kids called God's Big Plans for Me. It's a storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
In Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." How do we bring children to Jesus? Well, the best way is to read the Bible with them. You know, when my kids were growing up, I could always see their excitement about Jesus grow every time we read stories from the Bible together. Now, I see that same excitement when I read the Bible with my grandchildren. I love teaching them at such an early age that God created them for a purpose, that they are not an accident, that they matter to God, and that He has a special plan for their lives. So I'm excited to tell you that I've teamed up with a very gifted children's illustrator to prepare a new Bible for children. It's called God's Big Plans for Me, Storybook Bible. Your kids will learn from God's Word in ways that are easy to understand. And long after they learn to read on their own, this storybook Bible is going to keep on encouraging them to trust in God's promises. The God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible contains 40 well-loved Bible stories that will help your kids learn how to apply God's Word to their lives. Each story is beautifully illustrated. It's incredible, and includes an introduction from me that encourages them to discover God's great purpose for them. It's fun, it's effective, it's entertaining, it's challenging, it's captivating. It's a great way to introduce children to God's eternal truths. Now, I'll send you this Bible for Children, God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible, just as a way of saying thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope today. We depend on your gifts. I want you to have this as my thank you gift to you. I hope you'll get a copy for all the children in your life, your kids, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, even children you know in your neighborhood. They'll all love this. We've had nothing but 100% great feedback from people who've seen the God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible.
Request yours today by going to PastorRick.com or texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Today is the last day to get this great resource, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.